Good afternoon, everyone. Let's all rise. Merry Christmas! Turn to the person beside you. We are so excited to see you this afternoon. What a joy it is to be together today as we celebrate the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? This season reminds us of the hope, peace, and love that came into the world through Jesus. Whether you're with your family, friends, or joining us here today, we are so thankful for the opportunity to worship and reflect on the incredible gift of Christ. Let's open our hearts and give Him all the glory as we celebrate this Christmas season. Lord, thank You for the gift of Jesus, the light of the world. As we celebrate His birth, may our hearts be filled with joy, peace, and love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. Let's worship the Lord. Yes, Lord, we praise you. In your own way, just express your adoration to the Lord. Lord, thank you that we can celebrate you in this season. You are the reason why we have Christmas. We continue to give you all the glory and praise. Hallelujah. Let's sing. Great is the Lord.
Great is the Lord.
Robes.
The train of his robe fills the temple.
are the reason for Christmas. And Lord, what we can offer to you is our heart.
Thank you.
praise, Lord. We thank you for this day that you have brought us, Lord. And we honor you, Lord. We honor you. Hallelujah. We honor you. We give you thanks. We give you praise, Lord. And here we are, Lord, standing in awe of you. The reason why, Lord, we have overcome the month of these past months, Lord, is because of you. And here we are, Lord, declaring how worthy, how powerful, how grateful we are, Lord, for your faithfulness and your goodness in our life, Lord. So salamat, Panginoon. We worship you. We worship you. Hallelujah. And I stand in praises. There's nothing that we can boast, Lord, but only your name. We thank you, Lord, that we are gathered here in this place. We have life. We have ear to breathe. We can sing and lift up our hands. It's because of your faithfulness upon our lives. And Lord, of all the blessing that we can experience in this life, the most important gift that we have received, Lord, is our salvation. Salamat, Panginoon, sa pagmamahal ninyo. None of us here in this place deserve your mercy. None of us can say that we are perfect. All of us have fallen short. Yet, God, you reach out to each one of us. Reaching out, Lord, to each one of us. Despite, Lord, of our frailty, wickedness. And you have touched our heart, Lord. And now we're responding, Lord, of offering our life to you as a pleasing sacrifice. We thank you, Lord, for your sacrifice. We thank you, Lord, for your love. grateful. We are grateful. Hallelujah. Brothers and sisters, today we be partaking of the Lord's Supper. And I would like to all of us to maintain our reverence as we come and take the communion. As we take the communion, it reminds us of what the Lord has done on the cross. It reminds us that we our fellowship with Him. It also reminds us of the victory we have in Him. It also reminds us that He's coming again. So if you have repented of your sins, trusted in Christ for salvation, and have submitted your life to His Lordship, you are welcome to partake of the communion this afternoon. But remember, take heed of the warning in God's word. We read, Paul wrote, "Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and the blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself then, so eat of the bread and drink of the cup." It's a warning, it's a reminder, but also an expression of God's mercy, that we may come to the Lord's Supper with the right heart, with reverence, with humility, with thankfulness, with an awareness of its meaning. Therefore, I invite all of us to be seated quietly. Let's open our hearts to God. Confess anything that the Lord is stirring our heart. Any area that the Lord is reminding all of us. Probably certain words that we have said, action that we have done that have displeased Him. Let's just pause quietly and surrender it before the Lord. The elements that's on the chairs. Let's just remove both the upper seal and also the lower seal so that we can partake the communion together. If any one of you have not received the elements, please do raise your hands and the ushers will be coming to you. Read 1 Corinthians 11:23-24. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let's partake of the bread. Same way also he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Let's drink the cup. Partner, let's just come to the Lord with thanksgiving. Find somebody in twos or in threes to just come to the Lord with humility, thanking him for his love and for his grace.
Bye.
You're the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And we can face, Lord, we have looked in the past few months how faithful you are. Some of us gone through challenges in life, but yet, Lord, we have overcome because you are there. And Lord, even today and even as we face tomorrow, we thank you for your promise that you are with us. We thank you, Lord, for this opportunity that we can partake of the communion, constantly reminding us of what you have done on the cross. And because of the sacrifice you made, we are truly humble and grateful. Without you, Lord, we cannot live a new life. Without you, Lord, we can never experience the freedom we have. Without you, Lord, we will not have that relationship with you. So salamat, Panginoon. We want to give you glory. We want to give you honor, and we want to give you thanks. As God's people, we declare all glory and honor belong to you. In Jesus' name we pray, and everybody say, amen, amen. Let's give the Lord a clap offering. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We will now move to a time of worship through our giving.
Good afternoon, everyone. Let us maintain the posture of our hearts as we go to another form of our worship to the Lord, and that is through our giving. I would like you to take time to think how the Lord blessed us in the past few days, few weeks, few months, or even the whole year. How is the Lord in our life today? Ang ating Panginoon po ay hindi nagkukulang sa pag-abot sa ating mga pangangailangan and even giving healing sa ating mga karamdaman or even sa ating mga mahal sa buhay. The Lord is good, the Lord is gracious. Amen. Let us read from Psalms 101-3. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is good. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. Let our response be, Father, we are come before you today filled with joy and gratitude. We are reminded that you are our Creator who made us, and we are yours, His sheep to His pasture. These tithes and offerings are a tangible expression of our worship, acknowledging our dependence on you and your desire to share your blessings with others as we participate in your work here on earth. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious God, we gather before you today, filled with gratitude for your boundless love and faithfulness. You are the source of every good and perfect gift, and the creator of all. May these tithes and offerings, like the bread and wine we partake, symbolize the sacrifices we make in your name. May they represent our commitment to live lives of compassion and generosity, sharing your blessings with others. I pray that you bless these gifts and use them for further of your work in the world. Bring healing and hope to those in need. May our offering be a reflection of your love and faithfulness, a testament to the joy we found in serving you. Amen. With a cheerful heart, let us give to the Lord.
Tanghali po sa ating lahat. Merry Christmas. Mukhang tahimik tayo ay. tahimik na tahimik tayo because of some of our sisters. They are downstairs having the banquet of honor. And whether we are few or not, the presence of the Lord is still in our midst. So we thank God for this brand new day, the first day of the month of December. At Pasko na po. Parang kailan lang ay nag-umpisa tayo ng January 2024, and now we are at the end of 2024. So today, we are so blessed and thankful for every brothers and sisters who are here. And thank you din sa inyong lahat, mga kapatid, that through the months, we are in this together. So today, we are blessed to have two guests in our midst. And to you, our guests, as I read out your name, may I request that you please stand where you are seated so that we could pray for you. And at the same time, later on, we will come, we will shake your hands and welcome you the Living Word way. So may I call on Catherine Valiente. And we have another lady by the name of Ruth Suezin. Welcome. Welcome, Catherine, and welcome, Rosa. Thank you for coming here at Living Word Fellowship. We are, later on, your host will talk to you in one of our rooms here. And if you have any inquiries about the church, feel free to ask. And if you have any prayer requests, also, you may ask them to pray for you or with you. But if you want to join us again, you are free. And you are welcome to join the Living Word Fellowship. So, brothers and sisters, let us pray for our guest. Lord, thank you for Catherine and Ruthna. We know, Lord, that it is not an accident that they are here, because we believe that it is you who arranged it. Father, whatever is their purpose why they are here in Singapore, you know it. If they are seeking or looking for a job, let it be done, Lord, in accordance to your purpose and will. And if they are here for leisure, let them enjoy the beauty of this nation. And Father, we pray that whatever the desires and the need of their hearts, may you just answer them in accordance to your will as well. Father, may you extend the blessing of goodness to their family back home, wherever they were. And Father, I pray that as they listen to your word, may they understand the truth about the coming of our Savior, Jesus Christ. As they depart this place, help them to remember that there is God who loves them. Thank you, Lord, for this day. In Christ's name we pray. Amen and amen. Let us welcome our guests, and at the same time, let us welcome one another.
Beside you and tell that person, sing to that person, thank you. Ang babait ninyo, thank you. That's our way of just greeting one another, Christmas songs, nangangaroling kami. So thank the Lord for this day that we are here. Amen. I think many of our brothers, especially our sisters, are downstairs having their banquet of honor, but we will continue on with our service, and I believe the Lord will move in each one of us. Amen. Let me just highlight a few announcements before we dive into God's Word. Firstly, ating early morning prayer. Diretso po ito. We'll continue Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 5 a.m. and then Sunday, 6 a.m. And then this week, we will have our midweek prayer via our FB page, 9 p.m. Please do go and proceed to ating FB page, 9 p.m. Yan, sa ating TLW Facebook page, 9 p.m. If you're unable to finish your work or you're on your way, you can always replay and listen and as gather and pray together despite of our different places. And of course, this coming week, let's pray for our AYM, our youth camp. They will be having camp here, MAPEX, 6 to 8 December. And if you have a child and who's interested, please contact Sister Tintin and Brother Stephen. So they will be having it here. Ang team nila is Salt and Light. Yeah. And then take note, if you are interested to get the jacket, we are getting yung number of pool before we send it to the people that be making it. Go to iConnect and get yung ano po, details niya, and then register how many jacket that you want. Okay? And last announcement, starting December 15, we will only have one service. Okay, tell the person beside you, one service. We will only have December 15, 22, 29, all that Sundays, we only have one service. But also December 25 and January 1, the church will be open. We will have service. And we want to have this, you know, I know some of you might be very busy on 24 and end of December. It's okay. But the church will be open for people to worship and study God's Word, okay? So take note, starting December 15, we will only have one service, okay, 10 a.m. And encourage your friend to come. And also, if you have no place in December 15, 25, and January 1, come, join us, worship the Lord with us, and then after that, you can go jalan-jalan. But December 25, by the 15, is after that will be Christmas party. We will send more information about the event. After the service, we will have some pot bless and also some games and time of fellowship. All right? Today we have someone that will be speaking to us that's not new to us, and someone that who loves the church. He have multiple roles at church, and we are blessed with his life. He's the chairman of the church, but also part of the eldership, and he's leading our outreach ministry. And one thing about him, we know that he loved Jesus, and also he loved God's people. Amen. So we thank the Lord, kay Brother Sam. Ang secret name niya ay Samson. If you ever see him at Orchard Road, you just call him Samson. That's his name. But I thank God for his life and how he will minister to us today. But before we call him, let's just pray. Panginoon, we thank you for this afternoon, Lord, that we are here. Thank you, Lord, for you be using Brother Sam to share your word. I pray your anointing be upon him. I pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit will move mightily. We know, Lord, there's a lot of things that he would maybe saying, but I ask, Lord, that your Holy Spirit, your unction be upon him. But all of us also, Lord, in this place, I pray that you prepare our heart, a good soil, to receive from you. May it be an encouragement. May it be even, Lord, a reminder or rebuke. I pray, Lord, that our heart will be in tune to you, for we desire to experience you this day. So we thank you. Anoint our brother, Lord, and open our hearts to receive from you. So we thank you, O God, for this afternoon. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's just welcome Brother Sam.
Good afternoon po sa ating lahat. And first December na. Grabe, ang bilis, no? Yeah, we can greet one another. Merry Christmas again. Again and again and again. And we celebrate, I think one of the most celebrated events in our lives is Christmas, especially as Christians. And, you know, especially in the Philippines, we have this really event that we anticipate. Why? Because in the Philippines, and even in other places, even in Singapore, Christmas is, we celebrate with our loved ones. Yes, Christmas is about the birth of Christ. At the same time, we are anticipating this because it's a time to celebrate not only with loved ones, and also it's a time to go for shopping, diba? Shopping, buying gifts, exchanging gifts with one another. And also, it's a time to hear the Christmas carols, especially Mr. Jose Marie Chan. Diba? Yan yung marker natin ng Christmas. And of course, hindi mawawala ang food. We enjoy Christmas because of food. And at the same time, Christmas parties. As early as November, some of our groups had the Christmas party last week. Yeah, Gatekeepers, great team, and even network ni Sister Kay. And also, hindi mawawala sa Christmas ang decorations, the parols in the Philippines, and also Christmas tree in our homes. And one of the most awaited, no, particular in the Philippines, is this Christmas bonus. Yeah. And there's many things happening. But wait, sabi nga nila, there's more. There's more than the celebration. All of these are good. It really brings us the vibe mood that really, in even the weather, no, is going together, yung weather, the cold weather in the Philippines, in Singapore, even in other part of Asia. But there's more than this celebration. As what we have sung, yung hymn ni Charles Wesley, it says, veiled in flesh, the Godhead see, hail the incarnate deity. Please, as man, with man to dwell, Jesus our Emmanuel. Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn king. Veiled in flesh, the Godhead see. It means behind the human flesh, behind this baby, there is God himself. So our sermon today is entitled, More Than Meets the Eye. The Christ of Christmas. And as we discuss on the text, we will find who is this baby in the manger, and then why the Lord sent him, or why did he come to our world, and his coming, what is the impact to us, what is for us, what does it mean for us that Christ come to our world. And we will explore all the answers of these three questions as we dive in into our text. So let's stand and read our text in the Gospel of John. Verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things came into being through him, and apart from him, nothing came into being, and that has come into being. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in darkness, and the darkness did not overtake it. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, for this time of sharing your word. And we pray, O God, your Holy Spirit, God, illumine us and make us understand, Panginoon, who is Jesus Christ and why he came into our world. And what we will learn, we pray, O God, will bring us, Lord, and even propel us, Lord, to live for your glory. Lord, thank you, God, for your word. And thank you, God, for this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, amen. Let's have a seat. If you look on your New Testament Bible, you will see that the first four books of the Gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, it present to us different perspective of Christ or Jesus Christ. Example, see, Mark introduces Jesus Christ as an adult in his water baptism that triggers or initiate his public ministry. And then comes Luke. So Luke begins the announcement of his conception in Mary's womb by the angel Gabriel. And then comes Matthew. Matthew started to introduce Jesus Christ in his genealogy in Matthew 1:1, that Jesus is actually the son of David and the son of Abraham. But John goes further, even beyond the border of time, because John introduced Christ even before the beginning, revealing first, our first point is to know the identity of Christ. Who is this baby in the manger? Who is Jesus? And John opened his gospel with the first 18 verses in chapter 1 as prologue or introduction niya sa kanyang gospel in the book of John. And in verse 1, we have read that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. If you can see, there is a word was. The word was that John uses takes us back to Genesis. And even the beginning, it sounds familiar, correct? If you read your Bible in the Old Testament, the first words that you will read is in the beginning. So Genesis 1:1, in the beginning. And John connects us, bring us back to the first account of Genesis. And the word was even give us before the beginning. If there is Genesis 1:1, this word bring us to Genesis 1:0. So the start even before the time begins at Genesis 1:1, but John brings us back further before the beginning. If this is the beginning, we are now in 2024. Many scholars said we are around 6,000 years now. But this account of John saying before the creation, before the beginning, there is Word. And before the creation, Jesus Christ already existed. In fact, Jesus did not begin at the beginning. He began the beginning. He initiated the beginning of the creation. And some theologians call this the pre-existence of Jesus Christ. It means he is the only person who lived before he was born. Tayo lahat, we started our journey when we were born. But Jesus Christ do not have the beginning and do not have an ending. That's why in Matthew 24:35, Jesus said, "Heavens and the earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away." And who could say that kind of words? Only Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ is the eternal God. And also John introduces not only in the beginning, but also introduces Christ as the Word. Our New Testament, the original language, was written in Greek. That's why many preachers, many scholars, always going back to the original language to have a richer understanding. And the word in English, in Greek, it says logos. And John uses the word logos to capture his two main audiences. When he wrote the letter, his two main audiences were the Greeks, the Gentile Greeks, and the Jews. You know, in the Greek world of philosophy, the smart guys, the guys who always like to think, and of course their religion, logos is understood as a title of ordering intelligence. Of course, nowadays we have this artificial intelligence, but in the Greek world, during that time, they have this concept of ordering intelligence, the powerful force in the universe, that they observe that there is an order in the universe. They observe, how come there is an order? There is a predictable pattern of sunrise and sunset. There is predictable of seasons. And they said that there is a logos, an intelligence, and a powerful force. It says in Barclay's Daily Study Bible, the Greek Stoics, no, the smart guys, were always left in wondering amazement at the order of the world. Order always implies a mind. And they answered, all things controlled by the logos of God. The logos is the power which puts sense into the world, the power which makes the world an order instead of chaos. The power which set the world going and keeps it going in its perfect order. The Logos, said the Stoics, pervades. It means influence, governs all things. Napaka-powerful, napaka-makapangyarihan ng Logos. It's the power that and mind that holds the universe in perfect order. That's why John telling to the Greek guys, you know, guys, you are thinking, you are writing, you are dreaming of the Logos, the power that holds the heavens and the earth. You know, this Logos is a person. And he came down to earth and became a man, and his name is Jesus. Wow, kaya na-shock ang Greek world, no? And also to the Jews, mga Jews, katulad ni John, he's a Jew. The word is a familiar concept, no? The word of the Lord, the word of God. Even the creation, even the heavens and the earth came by the word. Sabi nga sa creation account in Genesis, God spoke, let there be light, and there was light. And God spoke, let us create man in our own image, and it happened. The word of the Lord, no, always repeating in the Old Testament, especially the prophets, the word of the Lord came to me, the word of the Lord came to me, is always repeating, and it reveals his person, his character, his truth, and even his will. So yung word na concept to the Jews is very, very familiar. And even in Psalm 138, it says, you have exalted above all things your name and your word. The word is so elevated, so high, that it's always a same level with the name of the Lord. Even the translation of the Old Testament in old ancient language of the Jew called Targum, if Bible translated to Greek, there is an Old Testament translated to Aramaic language called Targum, and the word is mentioned there as Memra, M-E-M-R-A, Memra. This Memra is always substituted for the name of God. So powerful yung word na concept na inintroduce ni John. And John is telling to the Jews, hi Jews, the word that you are looking for is a person. The word was with God and the word was God. The word is a distinct person from God, but God himself. The word is a perfect distinct person, but perfect relationship with God. And actually, many translators of the John 1:1 says that the Word is having face-to-face relationship with God. And this supports, of course, the doctrine of the triune God. It means there is one God, one being, one essence, but three distinct persons. And John was saying to the Jews, you actually now hearing and seeing the word God in human flesh through Jesus Christ. What a shocking revelation, no? To the Greek, they are dreaming of Logos, they are wondering, but now there is this person speaking to them, even to the Jews. So Jesus Christ is not only eternal, but also Jesus Christ is the word, the powerful Logos. And in verse 3, it says, all things came into being through him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. So, if you translate in Tagalog, it says, nilikha ang lahat ng bagay sa pamamagitan niya, meaning referring to Jesus Christ, at walang anumang nilikha ng hindi sa pamamagitan niya. So, we can see that the word is not only eternal, but also the creator. You know, all by the wisdom and the love and the grace of God. It's really by the grace of God talaga. That Jesus Christ came as a baby in a manger. If normal people, I mean, if they will see in their eyes, oh, maybe wala silang kakayahan. They don't have the money to have their own private hospital. But baby Jesus was born in a manger. It's just kulungan ng hayop and manger, yung the place where you put the food, yung mga damo na pinapakain sa donkey, most likely. It means parang if we can just rely on their eyes, kawawa naman, parang wala silang kakayahan to really afford a decent place to have their place to be born. But actually, there's more than meets the eye. This baby Jesus that was born in a manger was actually the creator of all things. If they could open their eyes. Of course, in the Christmas story, makita natin the shepherds knows who is that Jesus, that baby Jesus is the creator of the heavenlies. Yun po ang kanyang identity. That Jesus is eternal, he's the powerful Logos, and also he is the creator. And knowing all this identity, the Christ of the Christmas, it gives us, encourage us, give us confidence to trust in him. Not only to trust in him, but also entrust everything to him. Whatever valuable to us, our loved ones, our jobs, and everything, we keep on entrusting to Jesus. And we pray for a deeper understanding as we look on the Christ of Christmas, so that we do not rely on what we see. Because whatever we see is only temporary. Whatever it is, it will be temporary. But if we look on Christ, it will be eternity. And that leads us to our second question, why he came into our world? Why there is Christmas? Why he come into our darkened world? In verse 4, it says, that is the extension of Christ actually. He came to us for an intention. And that intention is, first, it says in verse 4, in him was life. And the life was the light of men. He has independent life. Jesus do not rely to survive. That's why he is God. For us, we rely on something to survive. We rely on oxygen and everything. And even some of us rely on maintenance. No, marami tayo nakita ko si Pastor. Maintenance, no, to survive. But Jesus Christ is the fountain of life. For it says in John 14:6, he is the way. I am the way. Sabi ni Christ, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You know the English word, to understand better, we look on the Greek language of life. As what Brother Ace shared to us, that life has three Greek words. First is bios. Bios refers to physical life, our biological life, from which we get the term biology. Another life that we will talk upon is the psuche. Psuche refers to psychological life. Sometimes they call psyche or psuche. Refers to the human soul, our soul life, where we have our mind, emotions. Who we are is on the psuche life. That's why where we get the term psychology. And the third, that's John used in this passage, in him was life. Life is translated in Greek as Zoe. Zoe refers to the life of God, to the eternal, divine, and spiritual life. All are important, but the most significant is the Zoe life. Because this life is eternal. When we talk about eternal, it doesn't only means quality or quantity. Eternal means it's not only the length of time, but also talks about, because it's forever, but it's talking about quality. Quality, it means this eternal life is absolutely perfect and complete. This eternal life is without shortage and defect. It means this eternal life, there's no sickness, there's no pain, there's no suffering, and there is no death. And that's the intention of Jesus Christ, why he came into our world. Why there is Christmas? Because his intention is to give us Zoe life. And the bad news is we do not possess this Zoe life. This life we do not have by default when we are born. Why? Because all of us are sinners. In Ephesians 2, it says, we are spiritually dead because of our transgressions and sins, and we cannot, and no one can stand before a holy God. We will be condemned because all of us fall to his standards. All of us choose to sin, and all of us are sinners before the holiness of God. You know, after the physical death, if any person, unrepentant person, will live the physical life or obvious life, that unrepentant sinner will face judgment and will face hell. But that's the bad news. But the good news is, in John 10, Jesus said, I came that they may have life. And that life, when you check the original language, is Zoe life. How come and how it is possible that Jesus Christ can give us life or Zoe life or eternal life? And it's because of verse 11. And what's verse 11 in John 10? It says, because Jesus laid down his life, his Zoe life, for the sheep, for those who will believe in him. You know, when I'm pondering about this text or what Jesus has said, Jesus Christ has given his life, but that life he lived on earth. He lived on earth, no, he took upon himself flesh to become human like us, but he did not live in a world, a perfect world. He lived this precious life in this fallen world. So that means Jesus Christ experienced everything that we experience. He experienced to be hungry. He experienced to be thirsty. He experienced to be tempted. He experienced na mawalan ng mahal sa buhay. And Jesus experienced yung grief. Umiyak ang Panginoong Jesus. Na-experience niya lahat yun. That's why this precious life, for all the years that he has walked on this earth, he did not commit any sin. It is a life, a suki life without sin. He lived a perfect life, perfecting and fulfilling the righteousness of God. Of course, hindi natin kaya yun. But that Zoe life, his sacrifice, so that we could have Zoe life. A life for a life. Walang makakagawa nun, kundi ang Panginoong Jesus. That is his intention. He lived a righteous life, maybe for 33 years, always pursuing the righteousness of God, without fail, without sin, and end up, he sacrifices on the cross for you and me. 1 John 5:12 said, he who has the Son has the life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. So if you have Jesus, you receive him, you have eternal life. But if you do not receive Christ, then you have bios, you have Zoe life, but you don't have Zoe life, a life of eternity. And then leads us to question ourselves. Of course, we value life. We invest, no? Many things to have to maintain a healthy and balanced life. We drink vitamins. We spend money, anti-aging, and everything. We preserve life. Even we extend our life here on earth. No, we extend everything. Almost maybe half of our treasures, no, pumupunta sa pag-maintain to have a healthy and balanced life. But do we give some priority of our life after this of having eternal life? How is our concern of eternal life affects our decisions even right now? If you decide something about eternal life, then they will change the course of your life. So Jesus is the life and the giver of life. And not only life. The text says, and the light shines in darkness, and the darkness did not overtake it. Christ is the only light that penetrates the darkness of this world. Because first, we are blinded because of our sins. And 2 Corinthians 4:4, it says that we are double blinded by Satan. On our own, if there is light, the light of Jesus, on our own, we do not want to see that light. And then comes Satan who blinded us so that we really cannot see that light. That's how challenging yung condition ng isang sinner. And because of our sinful deeds, sinful, because on our own, we like ourselves. We do not like others, especially God. But with this condition, as if we are putting a banner on our place, you know, towards God, do not disturb. On our own, we do not want to be disturbed, and we do not want to do the will of God. What we want is our own will. But friends, if we are in darkness and we need to see the light of Jesus, you know, sometimes we hesitate because of this darkened world, because of many things in this life. But if we have doubt and we have thinking, double thinking, are we going to go to church? Sometimes because of our darkened world, even going to church, we do not want. Even celebrating Christmas, we do not want. But if we have the conviction of the Holy Spirit, no, coming to church, celebrating Christmas, we pray that we do not doubt. If the conviction of the Spirit come to Christ, then we come to Christ. We do not doubt because Jesus promised that anyone who will come to me, I will certainly not cast out. And the text said, not only light shines in darkness, but the darkness did not overtake it. Meaning darkness cannot win over light. And in Amplified Version, the overtake it translate in two ways. So we can understand the text in two ways. First, it translated in Amplified as did not understand. Meaning the light counts, but the darkness did not understand it. During Jesus' time, many people do not want to come to Him. And even our time, many people do not want to come to God because it will expose our sinful deeds. Kaya nga, minsan kapag may gagawin tayo na kalokohan, kasalanan, patago, ayaw natin ma-expose. And we want to do it in dark because it will expose us. And Jesus said in the Bible, in John chapter 3, verse 19, if I may read to you, sabi ni Jesus Christ, and this is the judgment that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than the light, for their deeds were evil. The very reason why we do not like the light and we love to live in darkness because of our sinful deeds. That's the very purpose why we do not want to come to the light. And it end up is a choice. Either you choose Jesus or you choose yourself. If you choose yourself, do sinful deeds, then you will not see the light. And then another translation of do not overtake it is also darkness cannot overpower the light. For example, if we light a candle light, small one, yung mga nag-birthday dyan, di ba? I-light lang natin candle, then close all the lights. That darkness surrounding the light, this room, will not overtake the light of this small candle. In fact, the darker yung room na ito, the more we will see the brightness of this small candle. That's why it says in Amplified, the darkness cannot overpower. In NLT, it translates that the darkness cannot extinguish the light. Yun ang translation ng NLT. And actually, it's a metaphor. When John mentioned this, it's a metaphor, meaning there's a picture. It's a picture of showing what's the condition of Jesus Christ. When Jesus Christ came, there are many religious leaders wants to extinguish, wants to overpower Jesus Christ, and actually they did. They did, and they sent Jesus Christ to be crucified. Perhaps they celebrated for a few days, but there is a problem. Third day comes, Jesus Christ came back after the crucifixion. He was resurrected and come again, and Jesus' light shines brighter and brighter than ever before. That is the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Christ of Christmas. And he came to his disciples and apostles and greet them, peace be with you. Because all of them were afraid seeing Jesus Christ came back from the dead. And Jesus Christ shines brighter than ever before. So if you're walking through a dark tunnel experience, I think all of us will go through. Maybe some of us are going through right now in our darkest times, as if we are walking in a dark tunnel and there's no light. Remember, Jesus is the light of the world. So trust in him, rely on him, and pray to him, give me, Lord, guidance. Give me, Lord, the light. Because, Lord, nahihirapan ako. And possible, many of us were facing a false light. Yung mga attraction of this world, the world that, you know, blinking and grabbing our attention. Perhaps we have this, even in social media, there are many false light that wants to, you know, take our interest. But always follow the true light, and we have the guidance of the Word of God that will give us direction where is the true light, Jesus Christ. Yes, we have seen the identity of Christ. Christ, eternal, the powerful Logos. He is also the Creator. And his intention is to give us life and give us light in our darkened world. And in verse 14, the greatest wonder of all wonders. John, again, used a simple words to describe what happened to Christ. Simple words that's easy to understand, but yet difficult to have to grasp the full meaning of this. And in verse 14, it says, that's the impact of Christ, actually. In verse 14, it says, the Word became flesh. Simple word, yet so profound, is difficult to grasp. And we will see what is the impact of Jesus Christ coming as flesh, coming in during Christmas. In Christmas, what is the effect of this? Because Christ is the eternal Word. Christ is the reason why the universe exists. He was with God, and who was God himself. But then, he said in verse 14, he became flesh. He took upon a human body, or what we call the incarnate of Christ. Nagkatawang tao ang Diyos. You know, when Jesus was born on Christmas, he was born not partly man, not partly God, but Jesus was born completely human and completely divine. And John used the word flesh. The Word became flesh because during John's time, there is an existing wrong teaching, or we call heresy. If the teaching is wrong and affecting the character of God, we call it heresy. This wrong teaching was called Docetism, because the Docetism teaches that Christ, that denied that Jesus truly had a human body. From the Greek word doce or doken, it means to seem or it appears. Jesus Christ only seemed or appears to have a human body like ours. They said that during John's time, laganap na Gnostics or Gnosticism, one of the branches is Docetism. They teach that Jesus Christ is just an illusion. You think he had the flesh or you think he's a human, he got a human body, but actually it's just an illusion. He do not have a human body. That's why John mentioned the word became flesh. Yun ang napaka indicate that really Jesus took upon himself a human body. And then after the next century, you know, the Judaizers, some part of the Judaizers formed a group and they called themselves Ebionites, and they promote that the teaching of Ebionism, that Jesus only human. He was a descendant of David and a gifted man, but nothing more. So they denied naman yung divinity or pagiging Diyos ni Jesus Christ. But the Bible clearly mentioned in Colossians 2 verse 9, for in Him, for in Jesus, all the fullness of deity, kung ano ang meron Diyos, nandun kay Jesus. Sabi nga sa Tagalog, sapagkat ang buong kalikasan, the nature, the essence ng Diyos ay na kay Kristo sa kanyang pagiging tao. That's why Jesus Christ told to Philip, because Philip is asking, show us God the Father. And Jesus said, you know, Philip, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father, because Jesus Christ is the exact representation of God. So Jesus is fully man and fully God. So when he took upon himself a human body like us, he did not cease to be God. He's still God, but he humbled himself. How he humbled himself? Jesus Christ, the eternal God, the most glorious God, set aside his heavenly glory. Si Christ ay meron siyang heavenly glory, but when he came to us, he came without the heavenly glory. He's still God, but without the heavenly glory. It means when Jesus Christ walked on earth for 33 years, Jesus Christ did not walk glowing. No, nakikita natin siya as a normal person, pero without the glow, because the glory of God glows. And also, he set aside divine prerogatives, yung kanyang eternal riches. Napakayaman ng Panginoon. He created everything. And through him, all things were created. But he set aside that riches and he became poor, so that in him, we became rich. Another divine prerogative na sinet aside niya is yung kanyang immunity to suffering and death. That's why when Jesus Christ came, he suffered a lot. Diba sinabi nga sa Isaiah 53, he's the suffering servant. And also, he experienced death. A godly sacrifice indeed. And then in verse 14b, we continue, the word became flesh, and John said, he dwelt among us. Scholars said that dwelt is literal translation is tabernacle. It means he tabernacled, Jesus Christ became flesh and pitched a tent in us. Actually, this phrase brings us to the Old Testament time during Moses. I think it's to picture that really God is really drawing to us. You know, during Moses' time, God said, Moses, okay, build a tabernacle. So this tabernacle symbolized the presence of God and also the nearness of God. So what's saying, the importance of this is in Jesus is a God's new tabernacle. The very presence of God dwells in Jesus. In olden times, Moses instructed to build a tabernacle, but when Jesus Christ came, the tabernacle itself, the very presence of God. That's why we can see, you know, when the, during the Christmas time, you know, the heavenly, you know, glorifying God, because Jesus Christ came as a baby and even in a manger. And also, He tabernacled, He pitched a tent in us, because God's presence, which was previously inaccessible. Why they're inaccessible, yung presence ni Lord? Because of our sins. And now, because of Christ coming into our world, He opened the gate through Jesus Christ. So in Jesus, we can have access in the presence of the Lord. You know, God is full of grace and love towards us, that He sent His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. I think if we have only one son, we are afraid even sending them to school, di ba? Babantayan natin. Pero ito, grabe ang Panginoon. Pag-ibig niya, binigay niya, pinadala niya ang kanyang bugtong na anak. So that it will tell the action of God telling us that God wants to restore our broken relationship with God because of our sin. So whatever the things that, no, since God is drawing us, but we are here. So whatever things that we are doing, or whoever, people that block us to come to the presence of God, mga kapatid, brother and sister, this text is calling us to do away, to remove all the things and even whoever that helps us away, bring to the nearness of the presence of God. Kung ang Panginoon nag-sacrifice para lang siya, tayo ay makalapit, how much more we can sacrifice those sinful deeds, those pleasure things, those people that, no, na namahatak sa atin, palayo sa Panginoon. We have to have action so that we can come to the glory and presence of the Lord. And speaking of glory, the text continues that we beheld His glory. John said, we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. We beheld, John, referring to the experience, no? We beheld, it means we look, we gaze, we see the glory of the Lord. Because during Jesus' time, John with his best friend Peter and his brother James, they went to the mountain together with Jesus. And while praying, in Matthew 17 account, the face of Jesus glow like the sun. Grabe. Di ba yung sun, hindi mo nga makakita? How much more yung nearness ni Jesus Christ among the disciples? His face turns like bright as the sun, and His shirt turns white because of the glory of Jesus Christ from within. And that glory is just a glimpse. If we say, we talk about 100%, maybe just 1% of that glory shown to them so that they can have experience of the glory of Jesus Christ. And one person again that experienced the glory of Christ, or the glory of the God, was Moses. Moses asked, Lord, I want to experience Your glory. Okay, pagbibigyan kita. So Moses was hidden on the cleft of the rock, and the glory of God in Exodus 34 passed by. And you know what happened when the glory of the Lord and Moses see only just a part of that glory, because he cannot be exposed to the fullness of the glory of God, otherwise he will die. But when the glory of the Lord passed by, you know what he heard? It says, the Lord passed by in front of him and proclaimed, the Lord God, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness and truth. That is the testimony of the glory of God. That the glory of God is gracious and truth. And that's the same testimony of John. When we experience the glory of Christ, we will know that the grace, Christ's glory is full of grace and truth. This is the testimony of God. He is really full of graciousness, of goodness, and love, and truth. You know, how I wish we can understand and experience that glory. I think that's a challenge to all of us, to experience, to have this deeper understanding of the glory of Christ. Because the glory of Christ is full of grace and truth. That glory is way beyond anything that satisfies in this world. That glory is way beyond our eyes can behold in this world. This glory is way beyond that anything that we can ever imagine. If you have a one wish or maybe three wish, yung tawag doon, genie in the lamp. Of course, you have one wish. You will wish that beyond you can imagine. Maybe I wish I will own an island in the Philippines. No, but this nothing compares to the glory of Christ, because the glory of Christ will reveal to us that He is a fullness of grace and fullness of truth. Wala ka nang hahanapin pa when you understand, when you have the grasp of the glory of Christ, you will say no to anything. And I believe that's the secret. If we are struggling of sin, go and pursue that glory of Christ, because this glory of Christ will bring us away to the sinful deeds, to the darkened of these things of this world, and we will be consumed by His glory. Pursue Christ's glory. And if you desire, that's the question, do we have the desire to pursue the goodness and graciousness of God, to experience His greatness? Perhaps, maybe yes. But the challenge is there are many things in this world that not pull us away. Yung business in life, yung crisis and hardship, and even the temporal pleasures in this life pulls us away from God. But you can be like John. We can choose to be like John. Because when John experienced the glory of Christ, his life was never been the same. You know, at the end of his life, John the Apostle, he expressed this longing of Christ, because in Christ only you can find this gracious and truthful relationship in God. And at the end of the Bible, in the last page, you will see the prayer request of John. He said, "Come, Lord Jesus." I believe he still remembered the prayer of Christ. When Jesus Christ was on the night before his betrayal, before his crucifixion, his prayer in John 17, he said, "Father, I desire that they also whom you have given me be with me." Why? "So that where I am, and they may see my glory." That's the precious prayer of Christ, that those who will believe in him, one day he will see his full glory. And it is a glorious experience. John saw just a glimpse, and he did everything. Even Peter and even James, they sacrificed, even persecuted, they never turned down Jesus Christ because of that glory. How much more for us? Jesus Christ prayed for you and me that one day we will be with him, and we will see the full glory of Christ. But for now, we live. We live and reflect for the glory of Jesus Christ. And how is possible? Because we have the written word that will tell us how to live for his glory. Amen? Amen? So in summary, Christ of Christmas, as we look on the Christ of Christmas, we're able to see the identity of Christ. And who is Jesus Christ? Jesus is the eternal God, the powerful Word, and the creator of all things. And also, the Christ of Christmas, his intention of coming to our world is to give life, the Zoe life, eternal life, and to give light to our darkened world. And of course, what this means for us is the impact of Christ to our lives is to experience God's presence and also to experience God's glory. You know, in closing, there's one Christmas story happened in 1914. So all the way back to 1914, and it's a World War I in the Western Front. In the midst of the intense fighting between British and German soldiers in the Western Front, and then one quiet midnight towards Christmas Eve, the British heard something. Of course, they tried to listen, and then they understood that the German is singing Christmas carols. You know, in return, what the British did? They also sing back Christmas carols. So ito po yung kanilang battlefield, so many barbed wire, so many trenches. And then, what happened next stunned the world and made history. Bakit? Because the enemy soldiers cautiously came out from the trenches, both soldiers, and then they met on the no man's land. No man's land is the space between the two soldiers, and that's the most dangerous place on earth, the no man's land, because bullets are flying, no, the bomb are dropping. But suddenly they came, both parties came to the no man's land, and instead of exchanging bullets, they exchange handshakes. They exchange words of kindness. They traded songs, tobacco, and wine, and even some played soccer. The extraordinary event known as the Christmas Truce of 1914. Some have called it the miracle on the Western Front. Christmas, even in the midst of war, brought mortal enemies together as friends for a brief moment, without permanence. The day after Christmas, the soldiers returned to their trenches and the war continued. So just one day, Christmas, and after Christmas, they shoot one another once again. So bumalik sila. You know, Christmas, no celebration, and even this Christmas truce are worth celebrating. Kaya nga, we really prepare for the Christmas party, for the event, because we want to see our loved ones. But the thing is, like the Christmas truce, they are just temporary. We must look beyond the celebration to see and believe the Christ of Christmas. Because only Jesus Christ can bring us to God, not as enemies, but in Christ, He can bring us to God as friends and even as His own children. Because the Bible says, but as many as receive Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God. Jesus Christ, in Him we can enjoy God's love. In Him we can enjoy God's glory. You know, in Christmas celebration, there are many but no permanence. But in Christ, we can enjoy not for one day. You know, Christmas truce, they enjoy Christmas for one day. But in Christ, you can enjoy not for one day, but you can enjoy God's glory, God's goodness, God's presence forever. So in Christmas, there's more than meets the eye because Jesus is the Christ of Christmas. Amen. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, O God, for this time of sharing. And Lord, we pray, O God, that all the more the Christ of Christmas will be revealed to us more personal and more clear and more glorious, so that, Lord, we can understand. Lord, may your Spirit, God, be upon us, Lord, so that our eyes, our spiritual eyes, will be open and see Christ of Christmas, not only celebration. Thank you, Lord, for the celebration, but above all, Lord, we pray that we will see Christ, because He is the one that can bring us to you closer and closer. And may we see Christ and receive Him in our hearts, Lord. Thank you, God, for your grace and for your love. All this, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen.
Thank you, Brother Sam. What a reminder to all of us that we can trust the Lord, that in Christ we have life, and that we have that light to move forward. but also the promise of His presence. Amen. I like what he shared, Brother Sam shared, about the last illustration about the war. They have only one day of peace. But most of the day they were fighting. Some of us having war in our hearts. And sometimes we use Christmas just to have that little peace. But you know, Christ promised that He will give you peace if you let the Lord reign in our hearts. Amen. Let's stand. Before I give you the benediction, there's a line in the song. It says, "To you our hearts are open, to you our hands are raised. Come take the place of honor in our life." The best thing we can experience in our Christmas season is not the gift that we receive. It's not the eating or the weight we will add in our tummy, but to experience our Lord Jesus Christ in our lives. Amen. Let's just sing this chorus, "To you our hearts." Hallelujah.
To you our hearts are open.
To you, Lord.
To you our hands we raise.
Come take up.
Come take the place of
again. To you our hearts are open, Lord.
To you our hearts are open. To you our hands we raise.
Come and take.
Come take the place of
Emmanuel, God is with us.
Emmanuel,
oh God is with us.
Our God is with us. Prince of Peace, mighty One, the ever living God.
God is with us. Lord, there's war that's happening inside of us because of sin. But we thank you that you sent your Son. We thank you, Lord, that we can entrust our lives to you because of who you are, your identity. We thank you, Lord, that your intention is to give us life, that may we walk in the light and no longer in darkness. But we also thank you for your promise that we can experience your presence and dwell in you because of what Christ has done. Lord, I pray in this season of Christmas, may we experience the greatest gift that we can ever receive.
That's you, Lord. Salamat, Panginoon. And I pray our hearts, our mind will be focused to you. And that everything that we will do, Lord, may it even this season, may we focus on you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's just raise a hand and receive the benediction. For God who said, let the light shine out of darkness, has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that we can experience that light from you. And as we receive that light, use us, Lord, to shine brightly to the people around us so that they will experience your presence and that we may you may use our life to point them to you. Our prayer, Lord, that this season that you be glorified and honored. We give you glory and honor. In Jesus' name we pray, and everybody say, amen, amen. Let's give the Lord a clap offering. Thank you, brothers and sisters, for joining us in our service. Just turn to somebody and tell that person, Merry Christmas. God bless.